Virgil's own words to characterize the departure of Virgil. Whoa, run that one by me again. Turns out that when he uses the line, "I recognize signs of the antique flame," that's a line from the Aeneid. In particular, it's a line from the episode where Dido finds herself getting the hotsies for Aeneas. And when she says, "I recognize the tokens of the antique flame," what she means is, ah, yes, this love stuff, it's now pumping through my veins in a way that it hadn't since my husband died. Okay? Dante has the pilgrim say that in reference to seeing Beatrice once again. In other words, bringing together the meeting of Dante and Beatrice becomes a way of saying it's like what happened with Aeneas and Dido. But it's also using Virgil's own language at the point that Virgil has disappeared. He's disappeared. He says this, he turns around to Virgil, and Virgil is gone. And in fact, you know, no chance for farewells, no chance to talk about things that seem to matter enormously. What happens instead is that he's now left to stand on his own, something that turns out not to be all that easy for him at this particular point in time.
One of the things that immediately happens is, as he sees Beatrice and he has all of these feelings, is that Beatrice begins to speak to him. And her first word is interesting. Her first word is, "Dante," the only time his name is mentioned in the entire Commedia. She calls him by name. "Dante, though Virgil leaves you, do not weep. Not yet, that is, for you shall have to weep from yet another wound. Do not weep yet." This is not going to be a gushy, nice, sloppy, kind of, "Gosh, it's good to see an old friend. Let's give each other a hug and go out and have pizza," kind of reunion. It's a very special kind of reunion, because not only is Beatrice the old flame, but she is also going to serve as his guide and, more immediately, as his confessor. And she's really going to let him have it. That she's really going to lay him out. At one point, for example, in this conversation, she says, "Look, you remember me back on Earth, right? I was the most beautiful thing you'd ever seen, right? I was really gorgeous. Where is all that stuff now? I died. It's all dust. When I died, that should have taught you something, that you don't think of earthly things and confuse them with things that are eternal, that only my spirit is eternal. My body, that beautiful body that you so admired back there, that's all gone. That's all dust now. And therefore, my death should have taught you a lesson. It should have led you in a certain direction. But instead," she says, "you abandoned me. You went off in search of other earthly things. You totally missed the lesson. You totally missed the value that I had for you in my death."
It's interesting to take a look, to think of this in terms of the kind of final stage in the purgation process for Dante himself. First of all, of course, it takes place, he's finished the climb, and where they are now is the Garden of Eden. This is what it would have been like had Adam not fallen. All right. But of course, he's not quite ready for it yet, because he has to complete the process. To complete it, what he has to do is to respond to Beatrice's invitation. Beatrice has said, "This is what you've done wrong." Dante has to respond by confessing his sins to her. And that is, in fact, what he does. It turns out that as his stern judge, okay, she is somebody who is basically saying to him, "Look, here are all of the places where you have gone wrong. Here are all of the places where you have gone wrong." Now, what's kind of interesting about this is that this meeting, highly intense and, of course, highly personal. I mean, Dante has as his guide from here on somebody who is in a way unique to him and unique to his own history. That meeting is surrounded by a kind of universal pageant of church history, which is presented to Dante at this point. It's almost as though, having climbed to the top of the mountain, he is there now to get a kind of sound and light show presented precisely for his own benefit. But it's a sound and light show of universal importance.
And so in this procession, there is a symbol of Christ, there is a huge chariot, and there are figures that symbolize all the authors of all the books of both Old and New Testaments. And then through a series of things that happen to this